Hello, this is Daisy Chitlapilli. I'm the Managing Director for the Digital Transformation Office at Cisco India NSAC.
And hello, this is Karthik Malhotra. Welcome to this exclusive cast with Daisy. Daisy, thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful session that we are having, which is focused on technology, which has become a bedrock of our existence in the work from home environment. Do you think, Daisy, that COVID-19 is going to press the permanent reset button on the way we communicate, on the way we create, and on the way we collaborate?
I think so, Karthik, because it's not that this is something new for early adopters of this technology, but what this crisis has done has pushing the envelope in directions of what is possible, obvious to a larger and larger group of people, and making this technology more come home to many people who've probably never used it to the extent at which they are using it now. So yes, it's not new stuff for some of us in the tech industry in particular, but it has come home to the common man in a fashion that we had never envisaged before and at a scale at which we had never seen before.
So how likely are people to now be hooked onto this in a matter of really doing business and making this the new normal for going about what they do?
There are three things which have been proven. I know the circumstances are bad, but there are three things that have come out very, if you have to look at the good news of working from home. The first is that people can be productive beyond the confines of their office. I think that's the first hypothesis that was always in doubt, especially in traditional industries. Will our workforce be able to adopt to a work from home lifestyle? And I don't know about you, but my days have been packed far more than usual. So,
oh, you know, totally. But, you know, Daisy, if I could sort of respond to that, sometimes, you know, technology also happens to become the stumbling block because you're waiting for people to join in, you're waiting for people to connect, you're faced with bandwidth issues. So perhaps in a regular business as usual environment, what you could do in 20 minutes, now this collaborative tool sometimes ends up taking hours to finish.
Certainly, there is a different etiquette of working from home compared over these mediums than if it was an in-person office meeting. So certainly the etiquette change has to happen. The other thing is you hit on a really good point that, you know, we have come to this in crisis time. We were not prepared from an infrastructure point of view. We were also not prepared from the culture point of view, the etiquette piece that I talked about, people's ability to work from home seamlessly, the do's and don'ts of working from home, you know, adjusting that shoe rack in the corner, taking out the plug points that are making its appearance at odd points, you know, those types of things. The third piece is many of our industries do not have processes that can be seamlessly at this point. They're built for working from office. So the processes do not, and some of the regulatory challenges do not extend to working from home. So I agree that this is requires a little bit more holistic thinking. And what you're seeing today doesn't necessarily have to be the way it always will be if you think through the infrastructure, the people, and the process pieces adequately.
Post COVID-19, work is going to resume to a business as normal, business as usual environment? Or do you think these technologies are now here to stay for people to really imbibe them as part of their operations?
I think the technologies are here to stay. Like I said earlier, the boundaries of what is possible has been stretched in ways that we have never seen happen before. I think the answer to many of our problems also may reside in using some of these technologies innovatively, right? Most of our large cities, and I speak for India, but it's true worldwide also, the traffic looks to me like the traffic congestion problem is something that we could cleverly use some of this tech to perhaps alleviate, if not completely avoid.
And wouldn't climate change be another area that can positively be impacted by infusion of technology?
Exactly. So if you look at, I mean, I do give credence to the fact that many of our industries are not operating at capacity. Like manufacturing, for example, is certainly not operating at capacity in these times. But largely, if you look at climate change and sustainability, there are answers to that also in this way of adopting this new lifestyle. So we're not saying you'll all switch only to a virtual meeting world, but perhaps there is merit in considering a lifestyle where we don't put ourselves on the road for 3 hours every day to just to go to work.
There's a lot that one is hearing today about virtual concerts, about virtual events. What has been your experience? Do you think they cut it the same way as physical events do? Because now you're practically replacing a handshake, which is a bad word in COVID-19 days, but you're practically replacing a handshake with people just connecting digitally. So talk us through your experience of either attending or even your platforms hosting virtual concerts and virtual events.
So I'll give you a great example from the Cisco world itself, you know, the business world itself. So we have this marquee flagship event we do in the world called Cisco Live. So there's a chapter of it that happened in Barcelona before the COVID crisis happened. I just want to make a point that even pre-COVID in India, for the first time, we have a flagship event called Cisco Connect that we do in India. And that one, when we did the Bangalore event, for the first time, we decided to take it into, you know, two formats, the online format and the offline format. The offline format was in-person participation. 800 plus people were in the room, but a little over 50,000 people attended virtually, surprising even us. And this was pre-COVID. So sometimes the way to look at it is the limitations of the physical space can be taken away by technologies like this. So that's the good news, right? Places where you could not go to and where you could not be and could not attend, that limitation sort of goes away. But comes to the second point, many of these technologies, are they human beings still see in-person attendance with the high linkage of emotional engagement, right? To the point that you asked. Necessity is the mother of invention, so we've decided to do virtual concerts and all of that. But you tell me, Karthik, seeing Nasruddin Shah still, for your and my generation, seeing Nasruddin Shah live or on the stage, seeing you two live in concert, is a very different experience and engagement compared to watching a YouTube, you know, YouTube concert on YouTube. Still, maybe for the younger children, the bond, you know, for, but ours is also, it may also be a very generational thing, because our generations are, we were not born digital. If you look at younger and younger children, they really don't differentiate between an immersive experience using VR or going to a zoo, for example, right? Via VR and looking at a dinosaur and going to a zoo live. I, in fact, had a funny episode where a friend of mine was telling his three-year-old that all the animals that you can see on Animal Planet are real, and all the ones that you can watch on Cartoon Network may not be real. You know, so, so that is, so the you know, the resistance to immersive technology probably is depends on how old you are, perhaps. I'm not, so for us, yes, you know, emotional engagement is very much correlated at a higher degree with in-person experience. So the touch element of face-to-face, person-to-person. And that's why when you ask a bunch of people around, what are you going to do post the shutdown? Most people are talking about going out and meeting people. Right? Nobody's saying, I'll continue to stay inside and meet people virtually. So I think there are pros and cons of both ways of operating. I don't think we will swing to either end of the spectrum. Blending online and offline experiences is really the way the world should adapt moving forward.
Daisy, a wonderful session with you. Thank you so much for joining us on this cast. And I think anybody who is connected to technology today is bound to be hooked on to it. And let's hope that business as usual returns. But if efficiencies permit and costs being an advantage, then technology ends up becoming a new normal to at least care about the society, to care about environment, to care about climate change, and to care about traffic. Thank you so much for joining us on this cast, Daisy.